fighting for America.
Students get a chance to actually apply what they learn. Most of the time, you're just reading about Shakespeare, and with the exception of the drama students dressing in their black garb and holding an empty skull, they don't really get to apply their knowledge.
Fighting for Idaho.
I am what you call a weird child because I love school. I love getting to learn new things. I love different assignments, and I just love challenges.
Fighting for you.
So when you get all the other stuff out of the way, all the politics and all that, our desire is to prepare kids for what we think is a bright future.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
We look forward to coming to your fine schools
on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are. We're at it again at Timberline High School. Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. You know, I grabbed some propaganda from the folks here. Big game tomorrow or Friday night at Capitol. There'll be Donna Larson, soccer at Bora, back and forth here, lacrosse at LaBoy. Also, Bye Bye Birdie going on, as we've been talking about. So a lot of things going on here as we move along, promoting our school, securing our future. If this is the first time you're listening to this program here in the Treasure Valley, it is a program unique. Are we inventing the wheel? No, we've been doing it for, I believe, over a couple of years now. And essentially what we do is we go to the schools, we talk to the kids, we talk to the teachers, and we find out from their perspective. A lot of folks are very concerned about funding, concerned about textbooks. You got to admit, the stores have the rap when it's back to school time, when they say, here's your notebooks, here's this. And with a shout out to public education, yeah, I guess you have to buy your school supplies, but they have it down so thoroughly that they have the list for every school. So think about that when you're buying your school supplies and everything else. That's going to be a big issue coming up in this gubernatorial race, in the state school superintendent race, and we're here at the non-political solutions level. So we're going to talk to our friends here at Timberline coming up, and we do it every week, and we thank the Boise school system this time for allowing us to do this. Also coming up, it's in the news. You can't avoid it. And the big question is, Ebola, do you fear it? Are you worried? Now there's somebody in Texas. And are we doing enough to keep Americans safe? Never mind the president has sent folks to Monrovia and everywhere else. Are we doing enough to keep Americans safe? Let's get the very latest from our own Evan Brown at 580 KIDO.
This first patient flew to Dallas from Liberia to visit family. He's now in isolation care, and the CDC says the public will know as many details as can be shared.
We're going to tell you what happens, when it happens. When we don't know something, we'll tell you that as well. We level with people because that's the most important way, and that's the most effective way.
Its director, Tom Frieden, says the patient was neither ill nor contagious while flying, and so risk of exposure to passengers is negligible, and that by isolating the patient and monitoring the relative's health, the disease is under control. Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
Wow. And also the other big controversy, which we'll get to between now and Glenn Beck, involving the Secret Service, their hearings yesterday. Jim emails us, Kevin, a gentleman called in on the afternoon show and stated there's a video that was played on television. I didn't see it. That shows the man walking across the greens and the guard at the White House drew the weapon and did not fire. That's right, drew the weapon and did not fire. The guard dogs were also not released. Sounds like there are some orders from someone to stand down. That's the funniest thing when we're talking about standing down. I think we need to get to the answers from it. And by the way, please sit down. We're on the air. We're live here, folks. So let's get rolling at 580 KIDO, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. Why don't we start with this young man here at 580 KIDO? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Always a pleasure. You're a veteran of this, I believe.
Yes, we've been here before, so it's good to see you.
Good to see you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the great young students we have with us here.
Well, thank you. My name is Dick Jordan. I teach AP Environmental Science and regular Environmental Science. As part of the project, one of our projects is to get the kids involved in sustainability And so I brought three outstanding students with me today, and we'll give you a little overview of it. So
now, before we get rolling here, I think this is your third appearance with me, is it not?
I think it is.
And I remember the first time we were in the conference room here at Timberline, you're doing some outstanding things that a lot of folks probably aren't aware of when we're talking about your students and working with industry and the like, that was mind-blowing so much that I remember it from 2 years ago.
Well, I guess because I'm a veteran teacher, this is my 34th year, I kind of look at education in a different way. I want to give kids a hands-on experience. I believe that these young people are really our future, and I believe that they deserve to have realistic experiences that put them in a better position for college and careers. And so my driving mantra is to get kids involved, because they are the instruments of change that our society needs.
Sure. And before we get to the kids, can you give us some examples of some of the innovative programs that you're doing here? That, again, it's been a few years since we had a chance to really educate the audience.
Well, one thing that has been really exciting is the watershed work that we've done. The watershed is obviously our gigantic basin that we live in, and I think that not only kids but adults need to understand the place that they live, and we need to understand the agricultural community that supports us. We need to understand business that supports us. Sometimes we live in schools in isolated vacuums, and we need to realize that there's a larger audience out there. So the Watershed Project has been very exciting. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, leading a watershed workshop for 30 elementary teachers. I've got some outstanding people in the community that will be facilitating it, and a couple of my students will be there as well to give that student perspective. So the Watershed Project has been huge. We also do a ton of volunteer work in the community. What I'm trying to do for my students is give them a resume that they can take to the bank, and because they can get scholarships, and to expose them to all these wonderful opportunities that we have here in the Treasure Valley. And if you never have that experience, then you don't know what you want to do or where you want to be.
Or what you can do.
Exactly. You don't understand your limitations, which is a big deal today.
It is. We'll count on your 34 years here to guide us through this segment. What would you like the kids, the students here, to talk about?
Well, I'm going to turn it over to them, and they can talk about the sustainability project that we just got funded. We got $15,000 from the Boise Education Foundation. This team, at least the two gals that are here, were part of the team that went and presented to the superintendent, Dr. Coberly, and his cabinet. We got approval.
I've heard of him.
Yes, he's the big dog.
Yeah.
And so it's really their kind of energy and charisma that was a driving force behind it.
Well, let's hope so. They seem to be a little shy here. Tell us a little bit about making this big presentation and how you both grew from it.
So basically, Mr. Jordan said, hey, there's this really awesome opportunity. Will you do it? And I said, Mr. Jordan, I'm really busy. I don't think I can. And he's like, well, I really think you should. And so I found the time, and we went, and we gave this presentation to, like, this table of people, and it was really scary.
Why? Were they scary looking?
No, they were really friendly and nice.
Oh,
and
good.
They were paying attention to us, but, you know, they're adults. And we're kids.
Don't trust the adults.
And so, you know, a lot of times they don't take what we have to say for an authority, but they did this time. And so it really just, like, kick-started the sustainability project that we've been wanting to do. And it was a way for us to just, like, get introduced to the district. And it was
a great, like, training for you, though.
A mind-boggling experience.
And eventually, know? I got to tell you, you'll be an adult.
Yeah.
No.
I know. It's no fun. Yeah. It's no fun.
Yeah, so with this sustainability project, we really want to take it through these four pilot schools first. And
do you want me to, like, start again?
No, actually, no, we can't. We're live, actually.
So well, okay.
People are in their cars right now, so when you have the dead air.
Sorry, people in your cars.
Right.
Okay, so with this sustainability initiative, we're hoping to take it to four pilot schools, Timberline, South Junior High, what is it, Whitney and Garfield Elementary?
Shouldn't you have the notes here?
We do not have notes. We're just intelligent people.
Well, good. For those of us that aren't, so what is this project?
We basically were trying to save the district some money by cutting out expenses that are wasteful, like extra lights being on all the time that we just don't need, water that's leaking, waste, things like that. We're trying to limit.
Well, that sounds good. What about you?
As far as the sustainability project?
Well, you got to speak up to the mic. Come on. Well, tell us a little bit about why you're so interested in this innovative program.
Well, I think it's important to teach sustainable practices to, like, elementary school kids starting there, because these are habits that I think a lot of people don't realize that we're going to have to take up as a society, and I think it's good to kind of teach them the sustainable habits when they're in elementary school and kind of having to keep doing that up through their public education system. So I think it's really valuable to the students.
That's great, and we'll get back to you guys in a minute. What's it like partnering with not only public industry but private industry, selling them on, hey, why don't you give these students some real-life experience? The benefits will be kicked off not only immediately but down the road. How is that when you go? Because, again, I remember from your indoctrination of me 3 years ago, 2 years ago, just how you would go to private industry and go, hey, we've got something good going on here. Let's work together.
You know, I think the private sector is very excited about innovation, because they realize that we need to shake kind of the industrial model of teaching. Our society is changing so quickly. So I think they're very, very receptive and open. And, you know, the bottom line is we're making a big change here in education with Common Core, Next Gen Standards. And if we can help these kids understand how to learn when we're actually doing something good, it's a win-win. So we're not only saving money for the district, we're saving resources, and we're modeling best practices.
Indeed. Let me go back to the students. What do you hope to get out of this program? And we all want to be kids forever. Some of us, believe it or not, still think that we are, even though when the truth is very evident. However, what would you like to get out of this experience on your way to the next stop, whether it's college, whether it's anywhere else?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make a lasting difference. I'm a senior, so, you know, all I have is this year. But I'm hoping that the changes I make this year are, like, an impact for, like, many generations to come. At the same time, it's made it so sustainability wasn't really something on my radar before. But now when I'm looking at colleges, I'm like, ooh, they're zero net, like, carbon emissions and stuff like, you know, sustainability practices in schools. I'm looking for schools that have that, you know, and I want to be able to keep being involved in projects like these, even if it can't be at Timberline.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the real world application. I think it's very cool that Mr. Jordan has given us these opportunities to speak to these wonderful people in power and to really, like, take this project on ourselves and share our own ideas.
Indeed.
So I'm kind of with Kate. I really want to make a lasting impact. And I think it's just important. I think having the experience to make a lasting impact on people as a senior in high school is something that can be really valuable in shaping my future as I go into college and a career.
Well, we appreciate that. Anything else, Mr. Jordan, you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think something to think about is that you can either be part of the solution or part of the problem. And I think that we're kind of inundated with so many problems in the world that if you've got a kind of an action plan that shows that you can make a change, it's empowering and it's invigorating and it's exciting. And I'll tell you what, when these guys get pumped up and behind something, it just feeds me. I feel like a kid myself, and I'm so proud to be working with young people like this. They make my life so much richer.
34 years, you going for 40?
I think this is the last year, but I've got plans with my next career, but obviously working with young people.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you all for your patience and for making time for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Take care. It is 8:19, time for traffic.
We are Timberline, and we proudly raise our voice.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Timberline High School on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You have the infectious symptoms, and you can see them, that you don't have to worry about catching them. Yet this guy picked up the disease,
apparently from somebody who did not have the infectious symptoms.
Again, don't hypothesize because we just don't know. So we have no idea what he did or didn't do.
So we have the first case of Ebola in America, and we have this jabroni from the CDC or President Obama's office, I don't know which, telling us we don't know. Aren't they paid to know?
And how he got it. I'm sure that's going to be vital information to try to understand the transmission. But the idea that there's going to be a widespread outbreak here, I think, is just, again, it's a bit of fear-mongering. We have a single case. This is not a big
widespread. Yeah, yeah, but I'm just
getting
back to the president's statement, Doctor.
Now, I know my friend Chris Matthews, who I've had the privilege of working with, on the set of Hardball. He does not like it when, A, somebody smacks him, B, somebody corrects him, and C, he tries to get the spin. Here it comes right now at 580KIDO.
And that is that the president said it would be unlikely if we had a case in this country. Unlikely to have even one case. Want to go back and see the tape again?
He said...
That's right. He said it would be highly unlikely that there would be one case. And yet, Ebola running wild.
Wouldn't be an Ebola outbreak, and I think that's
no. And in the second
accurate
part of his sentence, he said, "In the unlikely case, someone brings it here.
Yeah.
In the unlikely case, somebody brings it here. Well, they've done it. We're living in the world of the unlikely already. That's all I'm saying. I'm not spearmongering. I'm stating the facts, and I wonder if everybody
Chris,
else is.
You're right. It is an unlikely case, but it's not. Again, we need to put it in perspective. This isn't easily transmitted. It's not like the flu. It's not like measles or chickenpox. You need contact with bodily.
The issue is, do we know? 580-5436, 580-KIDO, how concerned are you about the Ebola outbreak? And remember, we've heard people before saying, no harm, no foul, no rust, no fuss. We can contain it. Now we have it in Texas. That is not good. That is not good, folks. Indeed. Also, do want to remind you, as we are here at Timberline High School, to go to our website, 580kido.com, where we have an emotional thank you. And really, as we've said, the audio cannot do the video justice. However, what I'd like to do is I'm going to share with you, as a way of encouraging you to go check this out, a little audio of our experience in Indianapolis. It is a thank you to all of you who have supported this program and made our over 5 years possible. This is at the Marconi Awards for the best talent in the country, all formats, country, rock, talk, urban, you name it, recently in Indianapolis. Let's take a listen. Well, we will get to that in a second. Boy, that's quite a buildup here at 580KIDO because a lot of folks wondered what it was like, number one. And number two, remember, October 17th, thanks to Brad and Amy at Chick-fil-A, we're going to have our, hey, Kevin Miller stayed employed at one place for over 5 years party with you and the Marconi party. So we hope that you join us. That's the Chick-fil-A on Eagle Road, October 17th, during the morning show. Let's take a listen.
The medium market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDO-AM, Boise, Idaho.
The presenter, he's a little scared, but here we go.
You know, I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners. But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio.
Boy, when you see this guy, he can really fill out a suit. Oh, whoops, that's me.
That believe in touching people's lives and making a great living at it. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank All right, there we have it, where I hug Ron Chapman out of Dallas. You can check out that video at 580kido.com. A very emotional thank you for letting us live the dream. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Timberline High School on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. We're joined by Todd Erickson of CapEd Credit Union and a special guest. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Kevin. It's great to be here with you this morning, and thanks for having us.
First one of the year for you.
Yep, first one, and hopefully do a couple more this year.
I was hoping you'd join us at about 5 in the morning.
I was asleep at that time, and leave that to you to get up early.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate your support from CapEd Credit Union. We love our teachers, and it shows. We've got a special guest with us. Why don't we introduce her as well?
Be glad to. This is VN Petock, and she is manages our Park Center branch, which is located on the corner of Highland Drive and Park Center Boulevard. And a lot of the members in this area in East Boise go to our Park Center branch, so I thought I'd bring her with me today and let her talk about some of the products and services that we've got going on there at the Park Center branch.
All right.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Welcome.
My name is VN Petock. I'm the branch manager at the Park Center branch. I've been there for about 6 years now. I love it. I have a great staff and a great team over there. One of the things that we have going on right now is our most popular checking account, which is our rewards checking account called the High Yield Checking Account. That rate is offering 2.5% APY right now, and you can earn up to $25 in ATM refunds as well, with the qualifications up to $10,000.
Sure, that's a great program. How do you try to make sure when people come in to your branch on Park Center, CapEd Credit Union, that they feel welcome? Because, you know, a lot of financial institutions get a bad rap these days. Mm-hmm. You know, you know what is good service, what is bad service. You know it when you experience it.
I think the main thing is to treat every member like family, to have their best interests in mind. So right when they walk through the door, one of the first things that we ask is, what brings you to CapEd? And then from there, our conversations start, and we get to know a little bit more about them.
Fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about the new branch on Linder and Meridian.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's going to be opening October 20th. It's a little bit different concept than the Park Center branch. There won't be a teller line there, but there will be pod stations. And members who come into that branch, you talk about feeling welcomed. We are tasking our staff to greet a member within 10 feet when they walk in the branch there, talk to them, ask them what brought them into the credit union, how we can service their needs. And take them over to a pod station and just have a build relationships and find out what's in there, what we can do to serve their financial needs. And that's really what we try to do, is look at what's in the best interest for our members, to save them money, to help them with their financial transactions, make it convenient for them to access their accounts. And that's what we're trying to do over there at the Linder branch.
Well, and give them affordable rates. As I've told you before, that you know, I've got my car through CapEd, and, you know, it was the best rates out there, competitively speaking. You know, that's the truth. CapEd delivered.
Yeah, that's part of our business plan. We want to be a good deal to our members, and we work hard to survey the other financial institutions so that we're competitive. It's not the most competitive rates that we can give our members on a car loan or an RV loan or a power sport. Our mortgage loans, we feel, are very competitive also. We try to keep the fees low and manage our members' money the best we can so that we can offer them the best financial services at the least cost to them.
What's your take on the economy? Both of you will know that, because a couple years ago, nobody was borrowing, nobody was buying. We seem to see a resurgence there, but both of you are on the front lines. What are you seeing from your perspective?
We're seeing a really robust economy at CapEd. Our loans have gone through the roof. We're making more loans than we ever thought we would. We did that last year, and it's continuing this year. I'm just amazed at the amount of loans that we're making, auto, RV, as I mentioned, mortgages. So I think the economy is, here in Idaho anyway, is starting to come out of it. We're seeing real estate values going up again, and people are going back to work. I think the construction industry is rebounding and doing very well. And employers are hiring again, and so it looks really positive to us.
Fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about, since we are in the schools, the teacher grants that CAPED is so proudly championed for years when we're talking about helping teachers make their classrooms a more productive space.
Yeah, we love talking about the teacher grant program. It's a program we've had for over 5 years now, and it's continues this year. We offered our first grants this month, $750 grants. It's very easy for teachers to apply by going to our website at www.caped.com. They can easily go on that website, apply for the grant, and we get 40 or 50 applicants a month, and we give away $750 grants each month during the school year, beginning in September going through April. It's a great way for the teachers who maybe cannot, a lot of times teachers are paying for things out of their own pockets, and it's a great way for them to get a grant to help, and those grants are to help them improve instruction in the classroom, maybe get some supplies, a field trip or whatever they're doing to help the kids learn. That's the intent of that program.
Fine. Final thought, we love our teachers.
We love teachers, yeah. That's another program that we started a few years ago. It's where businesses in the community can come partner with CAPED and offer discounts to teachers, whether it's getting your car serviced or an oil change or whatever it is. You can go to a website that's weloveteachers.org, and you can go in. You can sign up to receive the email notifications that come out every couple of weeks, and it's the latest discount that businesses in this area are offering to teachers and educators and all employees of school districts. And it's just a way for CAPED to offer some more benefits to the educational community.
Well, folks, we appreciate you all coming in. Anything else you'd like to say? Just come see you at Park Center.
Yes, I invite everyone to come down and see us, meet the great staff. We have a new mortgage loan officer named Paul McMurdy. He's been in the mortgage business for about 20 years, and he can help with all kind of mortgages, service, purchases, refinance, first-time home buyers, people with little credit, no credit, no money down. He can help out in all areas. So come by, meet our staff. I invite you to come by and do that. So.
Well, great job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Todd, thank you.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We'll see you again.
You bet.
All right. big ups to CAPED Credit Union. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580KIDO. Let's go to Mark in Boise at 580KIDO. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. You know, this whole thing with the Ebola outbreak, we have flight restrictions going to Korea, don't we, North Korea?
Yep.
Okay, the government instituted that a long time ago. Why is it this administration, with its lackadaisical attention of how they treat serious issues like Benghazi, the RS scandal, now this Ebola outbreak, would not common sense tell you, as the president, our so-called president of this country and his administration, that we institute flight restrictions going in and out of that country?
I agree with you, Mark. We've been talking about that for days. Yes, flight restrictions, yes.
Well, you know, when this has been going on down there, why would they not institute that anybody flying back and only people that are government officials and or doctors, nurses going down there to help, if they come back, they have to go to either a military hospital or facility that they have to, I hate to say it, be quarantined till it's past the time where it shows that they have not become infected to spread this disease. And here's another one for you, Kevin. Can anybody explain to me, because I have not even heard this on even Fox News, Mr. Fair and Balance, Rupert Murdoch station there. Why is it Obama, and he used the term 3,000 troops. He didn't say medical personnel. He used the term troops. Why are they sending 3,000 troops down there? What are they going to do, shoot at this virus? What possible service can they perform down there other than getting ill or sick, bringing it back and spreading it out to the military installations in which they are stationed at and or their families. To me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just listening, brother. They're doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. You know what? That high school and its student body government could do a better job of running this country than the garbage that's running our country right now. I could tell you that right now. This is like a Looney Tunes show. We get a president who's busy off golfing, screwing around with fundraisers while his wife takes the kids and uses Air Force One or the planes to go take their kids off wherever they want to go. Everything seems to be a joke. Nothing is taken serious. If this isn't the most false-looking so-called puppet president that we have ever seen, I don't know what is. This obviously shows we get a shadow government running things behind the scenes, and this guy is just being told to be the mouthpiece as a so-called president and just let the country go to hell in a handbasket. And again, I'll back it up to where I said, why are we sending 3,000 U.S. troops down there? Because there is no help that they can do as soldiers to help prevent this from spreading other than infecting, getting them infected, and bringing it back and spreading it here deliberately. I'll
Great point.
That, sir.
Great point, Mark. Thank you, 580KIDO. Time for traffic.
Wednesday, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Kevin Miller, we'll take your calls in a minute, but Tony Fitzpatrick with us, the athletic trainer here at Timberline High School. Thanks for your patience, sir.
No problem.
So what do you do?
Well, I take, as the athletic trainer, I take care of all the health care needs of our 500-plus fall sport athletes and then winter sport and spring sport as well.
Boy, a lot has been in the news, and you get this all the time, I'm sure, about concussions in light of what happened at Michigan. How concerned are you and the others involved in high school football and other sports about kids getting concussions?
Well, there's always a level of concern. I mean, that's why, you know, that's one of our many facets of what we do, you know, being diligent and vigilant on the sidelines and in practices, watching for kids that may exhibit signs and symptoms of a concussion, and it's our responsibility, along with the coaches who do a very good job of pulling those kids and letting me know and letting us do our job to assess to see if they have a concussion, because what's really important is the young man or young woman's health, not whether or not they're in the game. And you know, their job is to come to school, and we want to make sure that brain is as healthy as can be.
What other issues are you concerned about? I guess it's the old tendons and knees and all those sorts of things?
Yes, I mean, you name it, from ankles to toes, knees, hips, shoulders, nose, chins. We get cuts and bruises and scrapes and strains and sprains. I mean, it runs the gamut, and you can have, you know, serious injuries to the ones that we can slap a, you know, Hello Kitty Band-Aid on and send them on their merry way.
Bet the guys like that.
Yep.
What advice do you want to give to parents listening right now or grandparents that have their children involved in athletics to reassure them and to maybe give them some preventative measures, some proactivity that they can work with their young folks to prevent injuries?
Well, the most important thing, I think, for parents and grandparents who are taking care of their kids is to be vigilant with them and watch. I know it's shocking, but teenagers will often hide things. You know, they want to play and they want to practice, and that's understandable. I mean, we were all in high school, and that's what we wanted to do. And so sometimes, a lot of times, it takes an adult to step inside and say, hey, look, we need to get this checked out. It may not be anything, but it could also be something that could hinder your performance, whether it's a sprained ankle, a shoulder issue, or a concussion. Our first line of defense here at school is our coaches and our athletic trainers watching for that, but the kids go home, and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa need to be aware of the signs and symptoms for anything, and if they see something that's out of ordinary and their child's not acting what they would think should be normal, they should let us know so we can step in. That's a service that we provide here.
Tony, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Quickly now, well, we won't go there. Let's go to traffic at 580KIDO.
That are having trouble keeping our president safe. I'm beginning to think the term Secret Service is just another oxymoron. Like the Central Intelligence Agents, they couldn't keep a secret of the breach of security. How are they going to keep the president safe? But if you go back and think about what the president said, do you remember these words? If you you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And don't worry about ISIS. They're not a serious threat. I've come to the conclusion that the government officials aren't capable of telling us the truth anymore, and whatever they say is worthless. The only question is, are the people going to wake up and boot those out of the government and out of office? And we'll see what happens at the polls in this November to see if they actually do rise up and change some of the things that are going on.
Big decision this November.
It sure is. Let's see if we can wake those people up out there.
Tea Party Bob, God bless.
Hey, you have yourself a great day. Nice talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Tea Party Bob, Jump State Patriot. Kevin Miller, thanks to Hotel Ryan. Thanks to Timberline High School, CapEd Credit Union. Good day. God bless. And keep the faith.
Serving Meridian.